Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is a great word. Oh, my. For those that are just joining us, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I am coming out of the King James Version of the Word. And, you know, I am a firm believer that the Word should be in context, that you can't read half a word and say, aha, I got it. No, you've got to read the whole thing, and you need to read it within context. So we are going to get into our Word this morning. And as many know, the way we do it on Friday, because I do not do a Saturday, word is we do Friday and Saturday and parts of Sunday on Friday, and then we do Friday and Saturday parts of Sunday on Sunday. So Friday we did the Old Testament word, which was coming out of 2 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. Well, actually chapter 1, we got chapter 2 today. And we also are coming out of Psalms we came out of on Friday, and we'll have a Proverbs today. So we'll be in John chapter 4 this morning. We'll be in Second Samuel verses, chapters, I believe, 3, 4, and 5, and 6. We'll see. We're going to go through and we'll go as God calls us to go and go where God calls us to go. But we will first off start in the New Testament today. Father God in heaven, we are coming to you this morning, thankful, grateful, and blessed to be your children, to be able to read your word, to study your word, and to know your word. Father God, for your word is true, and we are so humbly ready to receive it. Father, I ask you to watch over and bless all of your children, men, women, and children, Lord God. For you know everything about us. You know all our good, you know all our bad, and you know all of our ugly. And Lord, I ask you to remove all things that are not like you, Father God, in guidance. Lord, let your shepherds shepherd, whether they're male or female, but you have called us all for such a time as this. Lord God, I pray for all pastors. I ask you, Lord, to give them guidance, to give them leadership, to give them everything they need to go to work, Lord God, for they work for you, shepherding your people. And Lord, may they shepherd them in spirit and in truth. But you are our absolute Lord. You are our living water. You are our light. You are our salvation. You are our absolute. You are our redeemer. And Father, I pray that you increase as I decrease. Give me understanding to speak what you want me to speak. And what you do not want me to speak, let it stay behind my teeth. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I lift up this world, I lift up my nation, my leadership of this country. Lord, I lift them up, and Lord, I pray a special prayer for the people of Israel, as well as the people of Palestine. Lord, you know that you created that land, children, and that it is a holy land, that it is a righteous land. And Lord, I don't know why you are allowing the bombings and the killings over there, Lord. But I know everything is for a purpose and a reason. But I pray for peace, oh God. I pray that your people will get to know each other because they are brothers and sisters fighting each other. And Lord, I pray for unity of your family, of our family in Christ, and that they will get to know Jesus and know that all things are going to work for their good. Because, Lord God, we are all called for a purpose at this season. And, Lord, I pray that you will prevail in Israel and in Gaza. And, Lord, that you will bring all things into light that have been done in the dark. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, Lord God, may peace prevail in your holy land. And Lord, I ask a special shield of protection around Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, amen. It's so much going on, family, that it brings tears to your eyes for people to suffer, for people to die, for so much to be going on. All we as children of God can do is pray. Pray and pray some more. Because all things will work. All we have to do is pray. Keep God first in everything you do and watch how he works in your life. And pray for Israel. Pray for the leadership of Palestine. Pray for the leadership of Israel. That they will be able to come to the table. Because we don't want to see another child die. We don't want to see another elderly woman or man die. We don't want to see businesses and buildings destroyed, causing people to be homeless and jobless. Prevail. Let the angels of heaven come over Israel. Let the angels of heaven come over Palestine. Let the angels of heaven show themselves tired of all of our foolishness. Men start wars. And women cry. We have to pray. We have to pray our Father's prayer. Give. But I pray for the Middle East. As many know who listen to this blog, that Israel is on my bucket list of places that I feel I must go. And so, yes, I know that it is not safe right now. But I'm believing God for peace. I'm believing God that people will learn to live as and not as enemies. You know, many get upset when you say things. But I would suggest that all of you go and read about the formation of modern day Israel. I'm not talking about the Israel of the word. I'm talking about modern day Israel, which was created in 1948. So go and read about it and study it about it and then form your opinions about everything else. There's awesome documentaries out on YouTube about the formation of modern day Israel and who their leaders were and, you know, the wars and all the things that went on in its formation. But I would suggest for anyone, please go and study the formation of modern-day Israel. And keep opinions and all those things to yourself until you do. Because it's a whole lot more to the story than what meets our media eyes. So anyway, that's just throwing it out there, but pray that God will prevail and that whatever is God's will is what will happen. But I pray for all souls on both sides. You know, but I also know that the terrorists that started the mess, that God will prevail over them too. I know one of their leaders has been killed. But I will say this. Palestinians, Israelis, pray. Nations, pray. America, pray. We need Jesus. We need our Father God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need Pentecost. Pray, family. And let's get into our word. And it says in John chapter 4, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Does that sound familiar of what's kind of going on right now in the Middle East, where certain people have no dealings with other people? But let's keep moving. And it says, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, can I say that again? If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. I'm going to say it one more time. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go. Now you're getting ready to get off in that business. Jesus didn't play. He will get all of, he didn't play then and he doesn't play now. He will get into your personal business. And this is what he said to her. Well, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said. I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. Other words, girlfriend is jacking up. Was it the one you have right now is not your husband? Jesus did not play. He did not miss words. He did not try to act all this or that. He told the truth, and the truth, as I say, the truth shall set you free. What he tell her? And the one you with is not your husband either. But let's go. Let's keep moving. Because Jesus knows. But I'm going to say, I got to read this part again, y'all. Sir, give me this water, and I may not, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And I'm going to read that again, too. Because, you know, we have to know what we're talking about and put it in the context that it belongs in. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Did y'all catch that? But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that must to you am him. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Honey, God don't play. You know, that's what you say, sweetie pie. God knows all your business. He knows everything about you. He knows your hypocrisy. He knows when you're talking truth. He knows everything about you. What's done in the dark will come in the light. He knows all about you. But he wants us to have living water. He wants us to know the truth. And the truth is what sets us free. But Jesus is the truth. And we cannot get to the Father but through him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. I'm saying it again. God is, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And a life lesson for chapter 4 of John is this. He would have given you living water. Even when God asks us to do certain things, it's really an invitation to receive greater things from him. Jesus asked the woman for a drink of water so he could offer her a drink of living water. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. So for those that are just joining this movement, life lessons are from Dr. Charles Stanley, who is a mighty man of God, who speaks the truth. You don't have to scream and holler and shout across the stage and sweat flying, spit flying for you to be a man of God. Dr. Stanley is a true worshiper. He is a true man of God. And I love Dr. Stanley. I love the way he preaches, and I love the way he teaches. You know, so I am grateful that Dr. Stanley has put his commentary into this wonderful daily study Bible. And I thank him for allowing us to use it on this blog to get the word of God out. So not being paid by In Touch Ministries, but I tell you, this is a Bible that all Bible scholars, theologians must have in their arsenal. It is a great daily Bible. So our next life lesson is this from John 4:23. And it says, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. God actively seeks men and women who will eagerly worship him according to the truth of the scripture and by the power of the Holy Spirit. In one sense, evangelism is nothing but seeking worship is an action word, just as faith is an action word and love is an action word. We've got to worship in spirit and in truth. And as we continue in chapter 4, of John, being here. And it goes on to say, in the meantime, and this is chapter 4, verses 31 through 54. In the meantime, his disciples urge him, saying, Rabbi, eat. You know, Jesus ate because he had to for his people that were around him. But I don't believe he had to eat. You know, I think he had to eat as a man, but as a spirit, no, he didn't have to. But this is what it comes on to say. Now, he saved the people of Samaria because of a woman who was not, she should have been stoned in that day. But I'm sure that those that would have wanted to stone her were people that had kind of been there at the door. But the bottom line is, he said, the man you with is not your husband either. She knew all business, and she had to go and tell somebody. But no, she went to the men and told them. She didn't go to the women. She went to the men because she had to let them know, he knows all my business. In other words, that he knows some of yours too. But now his disciples have come. They didn't freak out that he was talking to a woman. And now they want him to eat. And they say this in John chapter 4, verses 31 through 54. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food of which you do not know. Because he had to get his disciples in check too on occasion. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought in anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Can I say that again? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you, you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into the labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, but we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. After the 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed in his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. What a mighty word. What a mighty God. And this is some life lessons from John chapter 4, verse 34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus lived to do the will of his Father. He wanted nothing more than to hear God's voice please him by depending on his Spirit to do exactly what he commanded. Amen. John 4:42. This is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Each of us has to make the faith our own. Our faith must become deeply personal, genuine, and an authentic expression of our heart. We must feel convinced in our own minds of the gospel's truth. Hallelujah. We must know who we belong to, that we belong to the Most High God, and he loves us more than anything. Thanking God this day for all that he does in our life, for all that he does in our heart, for all that he does in our mind. I love God, and I know without any doubt in my mind, he loves me too. John chapter 5, verses 1. Oh, sorry, I'm going too far, y'all. I was getting on the road. I was doing this John word this morning. But we are actually going back into the Old Testament this morning. And we're going to start in chapter 5 of 2 Samuel. And we're also going to go into Proverbs. We're going to get our Proverbs done first, and then we will go into 2 Samuel chapter 5. And when we go into Proverbs, we're in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. And it says, divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. It is an abomination for kings to commit weaknesses, for a throne is established by righteousness. And that is even for leaders today. Understand, as we continue in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. As messengers of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. Wow, what a word. And as we continue in Proverbs, which we have finished. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let's continue then now in 2 Samuel. But we know that Saul has died, We know that his son, I called it Ichabod, but I think it's a different name because I did not pronounce it correctly. But his son has taken over Israel. And we're going to go over to Second Samuel. Quiet of the Lord saying, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go up. And David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. So David went up there and his two wives also, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David brought up the men who were with him, every man with his household. So they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, the men of Jabesh Gilead were the ones who buried Saul. So David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead and said to them, you are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown his kindness to your Lord, to Saul, and have buried him. And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I also will repay you this kindness because you have done this thing. Now, therefore, let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them. But Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Mephibosheth, and that's the new king of Israel, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Manannim. And he made him king over Gilead, over the Asherites, over Jezreel, over Ephraim, over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. Only the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Now Abner, the son of Ner, and the servant of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Menahem to Gibeon, and Joab, the son of Zerah, and the servants of David went out and met them by the pool of Gibeon. So they sat down, one on one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. Then Abner said to Joab, let the young men now arise and compete before us. And Joab said, let them arise. So they arose and went over by number 12 from Benjamin, followers of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 from the servants of David. And each one grasped his opponent by the head and thrust his sword in his opponent's side. So they fell down together. Therefore, that place was called the Field of Sharp Swords, which is in Gibeon. So there was a very fierce battle that day, and Abner and the men of Israel were beaten before the servants of David. Now the three sons of Zerah were there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. And Asahel was as fleet of foot as a wild gazelle. So Asahel pursued Abner, and in going he did not turn to the right hand or to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, are you Asahel? He answered, I am. And Abner said to him, turn aside to your right hand or to your left and lay hold of one of the young men and take his armor for yourself. But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. So Abner said again to Asahel, turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I face your brother Joab? However, he refused to turn aside. Therefore, Abner struck him in the stomach with the blunt end of the spear, so that the spear came out of his back, and he fell down there and died on the spot. So it was that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still. Joab and Abishai also pursued Abner, and the sun was going down when they came to the hill of Ammah, which is before Gaia. by the road to the wilderness of Gibeon. Now the children of Benjamin gathered together behind Abner and became a unit and took their stand on top of a hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know that it will be bitter in the latter end? How long will it be then until you tell the people to return from pursuing their brethren?" And Joab said, "As God lives, unless you had spoken surely, then my mourning, all the people would have given up pursuing their brethren." So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and did not pursue Israel anymore, nor did they fight anymore. Abner and his men went on all that night through the plains across over to Jordan and went through all Bethoron, and they came to Mahanaim. So Joab returned from pursuing Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there was missing of David's servant 19 men and Asahel. But the servant of David had struck down a Benjamin and Abner's men, 360 men, who died. Then they took up Asahel and buried him in his father's tomb, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at daybreak. Wow. And this is some life lessons from 2 Samuel chapter 2. Shall go up to any of the cities of Judah. David asked God for his leading, even in the manner of where he should live. Listening to God is essential to walking with God. Did y'all catch that? Listening to God is essential to walking with God. Whatever God says do is what we do. We can't go by man's orders. We got to go by God's orders. But you got to make sure that who you're listening to is God and not the voice of the sneaky snake who had Eve all messed up and caused so much evil to come into the world because she had forgotten how to listen to the voice of God. Don't let power corrupt you. And this is what it says in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began his reign over Israel. Abner, not God, made Saul's son king over Israel. The arrangement lasted for 2 years, but in the end, it brought the nation nothing but heartache. Whatever we acquire outside of God's will eventually turns to ashes. No, God didn't make Saul's son king. Abner did. And as we read, we'll find out what happens to both. And 2 Samuel chapter 2, David competent over time. Often we want too much too soon. This is often true in our desire to become highly competent. But skills take time to fully develop. We acquire wisdom over time and build character slowly. David knew about the development of competency over time. Samuel anointed David as king of Israel fairly early in his life, probably when he was a teenager. Yet David did not automatically become king. In the military realm, few people experienced as much success as David. Yet David slew a bear and a lion long before he encountered Goliath. God was working in David during his shepherd days, giving him experiences that would build his courage. David's faith grew as he saw the Lord's presence in his life during memorable experiences. And so it is with our competency. The Lord works in us over time, helping us to develop and hone certain skills, in the end making us effective and successful. We can't get where we're going overnight. We got to work the work that God has called us to do. We got to do what God says do. We can't follow after everything, every man made this or that. You got to do what God says do because God is in charge of everything. I'm going to read this psalm. I know we read it on Friday, but I just love it, and I'm going to read it again. And it's Psalm 62, verses 1 through 4. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. That's a word. Let us continue in 2 Samuel chapter 3. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Sons were born to David in Hebron. His firstborn was Amon by Anaham the Jezreelite. His second, Shelee, by Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Salon, the son of Micah, the daughter of Timai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Ephatal. And the sixth, Itran by David's wife, Eglah. They were born to David in Hebron. So he gained some wives while he was in Hebron. Now it was so, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner was strengthening his hold on the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rezbah, the daughter of Ai. So Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" And Abner became very angry at the words of Ishbosheth and said, "Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show loyalty to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and not delivered you into the hand of David. Have I not delivered you into the hand of David? And you charge me today with a fault concerning this woman? May God do so to Abner, and more also if I do not do for David as the Lord has sworn to him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan to Beersheba." And he could not answer Abner another word because he feared him. Then Abner sent messengers on his behalf to David, saying, "Whose is the land?" saying also, "Make your covenant with me, and indeed my hand shall be with you to bring all Israel to you." And David said, "Good, I will make a covenant with you, but one thing I require of you, you shall not see my face unless you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see my face." So David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Give me my wife, Michal, whom I betrothed to myself for 100 foreskins of the Philistine." And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, from Petiel, the son of Laish. Then her husband went along with her to Baram, weeping behind her. So Abner said to him, "Go, return," and he returned. Little coward. And I'm going to just read a life lesson from this word. It says, David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Kingdom to David, but it took a long time for him to finally bring the nation together under his rule. Yet what God promises, he delivers, even if it takes longer than we had expected. And as we continue, it goes on to tell us, now Abner had communicated with the elders of Israel, saying, "In time past, you are seeking for David to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and the hand of all their enemies.' And Abner also spoke in the hearing of Benjamin. Then Abner also went to speak in the hearing of David in Hebron all that seemed good to Israel and the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner and 20 men with him came to David at Hebron, and David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. Then Abner said to David, I will arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, and that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may reign over all that your heart desires. So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. At that moment, the servants of David and Joab came from a raid and brought much spoils with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the troops that were with him had come, they told him, Joab said to Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he sent him away, and he has gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, what have you done? Look, Abner came to you. Why is it that you sent him away and he has already gone? Surely you realize that Abner, the son of Ner, came to deceive you, to know your going out and your coming in, and to know all that you are doing. And when Joab had gone from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner, who brought him back from the well of Sirah. But David did not know it. Now when Abner had returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him privately, and there stabbed him in the stomach so that he died for the blood of Ishbosheth, his brother. Afterward, when David heard it, he said, my kingdom and I are guiltless before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house. And let there never fail to be in the house of Joab one who has a discharge or is a leper, who leans on a staff or falls by the sword, or who lacks bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had killed their brother Ishbosheth at Gibeon in the battle. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, tear your clothes, gird yourselves with sackcloth, and mourn for Abner. And King David followed the coffin. So they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king sang a lament over Abner and said, should Abner die as a fool dies, your hands were not bound, nor your feet put in fetters. As a man falls before wicked men, so you fail. Then all the people wept over him again. And when all the people came to persuade David to eat food while it was still day, David took an oath, saying, God do so to me and more also if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down. Now all the people took note of it, and it pleased them, since whatever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's intent to kill Abner, the son of Ner. Then the king said to his servant, Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel, and I am weak? Today, though, anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zerah, were too harsh for me. The Lord shall repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. When Saul's son heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost heart, and all Israel was troubled. Now Saul's son had two men who were captains of troops. The name of one was Benai, the name of the other, Rechab, the sons of Rimmon, and a Beerterite of the children of Benjamin. For Beerterite was also part of Benjamin because of the Beerterites fled to get him and have been sojourners there until this day. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled, and it happened, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. Then the sons of Rimmon, the Betzerites, Rechab and Benna set out and came at about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who was lying on his bed at noon. And they came there all the way into the house as though to get wheat, and they stabbed him in the stomach. Then Rechab and Benai, his brother, escaped. For when they came into the house, he was lying on his bed in his bedroom. Then they struck him and killed him, beheaded him, and took his head, and were all night escaping through the plains. And they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David at Hebron, and said to the king, here is the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life, and the Lord has avenged my lord, the king, this day of Saul and his descendants. But David answered Rechab and Menani, his brother, the sons of Ramon and the Beersherites, and said to them, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all adversity, when someone told me, saying, look, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good news, I arrested him and had him executed in Ziklag. The one who thought I would give him a reward for his news, how much more when wicked men have killed a righteous person in his own house on his bed. Therefore, shall I not now require his blood at your head and remove you from the earth? So David commanded his young men, and they executed them, cut off their hands and feet, and hanged them by the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the tomb of Abner in Hebron. You know, you got folks that think they doing something when they do evil. And that was what was going on in our word today. They thought they was getting away with something because they killed Saul's son. But that was not what David wanted, because David didn't roll like that. Because he did not look at Saul. He could have killed Saul numerous times, but didn't. He didn't. And when the let's call him the thief, came to brag that he killed Saul, David killed him. These guys thinking they did something, David killed them. And this is what the life lesson for this word is. This it says, and they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David at Hebron. David was not impressed by spiritual words when he saw evil deeds. As a man after God's own heart, he could not delight in wickedness, even if it appeared to benefit him. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 9, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all adversity. The Lord loves to redeem our lives from all adversity. David realized that adversity is a setback from which we take our greatest leaps forward. And then it goes on to tell you, you render to each one according to his work. And this is a psalm. And I love this psalm again. I read it on Friday, but I'm reading the rest of it today. And it just simply says this, so wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice, I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. And that is what the word says for our life lesson, is you render to each one according to his work. Salvation is a gift. Rewards are earned, while every true Christian will make it to heaven. Not all will receive rewards. For faithful service, some will suffer loss, yet will be saved, yet so as through fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. And that is our word for this morning. I thank you all for listening in today. As we move forward in the word of God, and as I say every day, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Study the word. Stand on the word. Talk with God. Man will tell you one thing, but whatever God tells you to do is what you must do. We cannot go by doctrine of men, and God has given us everything we need in this Bible, in this biblical understanding of how things work. God has set it before us, and we must follow what God says. And if it doesn't say, and Jesus said, and God said, then it's a personal opinion. Minister Bridget can say whatever she wants, but I'm going to trust God and say what thus says the Lord in his word. You know, we got to get some red letter Bibles so it says you what Jesus said. And Jesus said, God is spirit. To worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And that is our word this morning before we go. A word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for this morning is simply this. Well, actually, let's go with yesterday's word. And yesterday's word was good morning. As you step out today, may angels lead you. May peace accompany you. May grace go before you. May love and light surround you. May kindness spread from you. May goodness and love follow you. May lessons teach you. May family support you. May friends encourage you. May God protect and bless you. And may your day be filled with and joy. Amen. What a beautiful word from our sister in Christ. And this morning's word is simply this. Prayer keeps you aware of the loving arms of God and will lead you to a path for victory. Have a safe in God Sunday, family. And that is all I have today. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, trusting in God and knowing that all things are working for your good. And remember our word for this morning. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit. Have a blessed day. And again, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you so very much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Keeping God first in everything that you do. It is a wrap.